Y'all excuse me this morning if I start sniffling and everything else. Boy, I got a headache. I started not to come this morning, and then I listened to my own sermon last Wednesday night, and I thought I better. Oh, but it was worth it all just to hear them sing, "Oh, what a Savior we have," I tell you. All right, praise the Lord. I can't even see the words on this. All right. Turn, if you will, in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Is Richard here today? Is Richard here? I don't see him. I hadn't seen him this morning. Okay. Me and Richard have been going back and forth on 1 John. And he asked me again Monday, "What are you going to preach on, preacher?" I said, "Chapter 3," and he said, "Man, I'm preaching chapter 2. And I said, "Okay, well, let's keep going. We'll make it." So chapter 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for your blessings in life. We thank you, Lord, and this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak through me, that people might hear just what they need to hear to fit in their life. We all have different needs this morning, but Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit will meet us at the point of our need. There's some here this morning that do not know you. They need salvation's gift. And God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will enlighten them, that by faith they may come and trust you as Lord and Savior. There's those here that are saved, Lord. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and yet their life is not being lived like it should be. This morning, I pray that they might come and humble themselves before you, and Lord, ask forgiveness for that, and get up and walk afresh and anew in the Christian life. There's some this morning here that are looking for a church home, and God, if this is the place that you've led them, Lord, we pray that they might come. Whatever decision, Lord, that needs to be made this morning, God, we give you the praise and glory for it. And all in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. How many of you like something new? Amen. We all like something new. Man, I like new shoes. There's nothing better than put on new shoes that just fit like a glove. Amen. The smell of that leather or whatever it might be is nice. I don't know about you, but I like a new suit. Pastor's appreciation. Somebody asked me a while ago. We had pastor's appreciation around here, and Brother Teddy gets up and asks for 100. And I thought, man, I ought to at least ask for that much. But I like a new suit. And when there's something about something new, that new car smell. Man, don't we like that? When you get in that new car and it's all new smelling in there. I go down and I take my old car down to get it cleaned out, and they said, "What kind of flavor you want smell in your pickup?" I said, "That new car smell. I like that." But you know what? After a little while, it loses its luster, doesn't it? It's not quite as new as it used to be. You know, and that's what keeps the malls in America open. Americans wanting something new, fresh, alive. Well, I am glad that the Christian life just keeps getting better and better and better. It doesn't lose its luster. It just gets sweeter as the days go by. Amen. I love that Christian life. And the longer I serve it, the sweeter he grows. Oh, the better life, the exciting life, the abundant life is as we get older in Christ Jesus. And the more that we learn about Jesus, the more that we get to enjoy Jesus Christ in our lives. Oh, it's great to know Jesus. And it's great to live for Jesus. Paul said that I may know him. I want to know him better. Now, Paul already knew Jesus Christ, didn't he? He was saved, born again on the Damascus Road. He had a message that God had given him. But he said, you know, I want to know more about Jesus. I love that song, More About Jesus Would I Know. More of his saving love to show. Man, I love that. I like getting older in Jesus and growing in Jesus because every day with Jesus, my daddy was a song director. He loved to sing Victory in Jesus because he had victory in Christ Jesus. And the older he got, the more Jesus just showed upon his face. The sweeter he grew to Jesus Christ, the more he became like Jesus Christ. And he liked to sing that song, Every Day with Jesus is Sweeter Than the Day Before. Now John says right here in passage chapter 3, verse 1, he says, Beloved, now we are sons of God. Now that's great, isn't it? Now we are sons of God. There's some people that tell you that you can't really know if you're a child of God or not. But that's not what John said. He says, now we are sons of God. Not next year, not when we die, not, you know, right now we are sons of God. People tell me all the time, well, I believe we're a son of God, but if we don't stumble and fall, no, you're not going to stumble. Not with God. He's always there. John says, right now, it's sweet in Christ Jesus. We are saved. We are children of God. We have been born again. We ought to be living the Christian life. I can't lose my salvation. I can't stumble and fall out of it. I am a child of God. Man, I love that. I know that God is my Savior. I'm living in Christ, and He's in me. Amen. And that's my hope of glory. I'm looking for that blessed hope. Well, that's the beginning when we're saved and born again. And the Christian life only gets better and better and better. Look at what it says. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But one thing we do know, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Boy, now I can't even imagine in my mind the wonderful things that God has got in store for his children. I know growing up, my mother and daddy always wanted the best for their kids. We didn't always get the best. You know, when you have as many children as they had, and we used those, I got my brother's pants, and he got my uncle's pants, and you know, you get leftovers. They just hand them down. I got new patches, though. When the hole got in, you know, those iron-on patches? Mother ironed on more patches than I could. You know, we had holes all in our pants, but we had new patches. Now they'd be in style. We were just in style long before our days. He says, you know, one thing we know, we're going to see God face to face. And when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And I know one thing, I'm a child of God, and he wants me to live in him and have the best. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now let me ask you something. God wants you to have life. He wants you to have it abundantly. He wants you to have the best possible Christian life. Why then don't we have it? Why then don't we have that? Is it because we're not being obedient to God? Is it because you've got some area in your life as a child of God that you're not obeying God, therefore you're not receiving the blessings of God. You see, I preached on this Wednesday night, and I didn't really want to get involved in all of that today, but we talked about obedience. Now, when I grew up, as long as I obeyed my father, everything went pretty smooth. Were you like that? He was good to us. We'd do all kinds of chores around the house, and we thought maybe that was kind of rough, but we learned the work, and he was good to us. He loved us, and we knew that. But every once in a while, I disobey him, and I get punished for it. But as long as I obeyed my father, everything went smooth. We were happy. He took us hunting. He took us fishing. He took us different places. We were buddies. He's also my father. You know, God's the same way. He said, you know what? I want you to obey me. I want you to have life. I want you to have abundant life. I want you to have a close fellowship with me, but I want you to obey me. I want you to live for me. And that's the good news of the gospel. Christ wants us to have a good fellowship with him. I love it when God answers my prayers, and praise God, he answers prayers, doesn't he? I love it when he blesses us, and praise God, I've been thinking about the blessings God has bestowed on our family. Man, he's bestowed a lot of blessings on our family. And I'm talking about my church family here. I can just look back over the years how God has blessed this congregation. How he's just opened up the windows of heaven and poured out the blessings upon this church. And what a fellowship that we have in this church. Sister Toby told about it a while ago. Her sister passed away, and it was amazing how the people gathered around that family, and they weren't even members of the church, just Toby's a member of our church, but how the congregation gathered around that family. I love it. I love that kind of fellowship that we have, and the Holy Spirit living in us, in our Christian lives, and oh, that's so great. But wait till he comes. Wait till we see him face to face. If we think it's sweet today, just think about it when Christ comes in person and we're all there together. Oh, what a Savior we will have, or we have. And what a fellowship we have. So I want you to think about that this morning as I start the message. Now we're just getting started. But you know what? I want us to notice something here. Behold, what manner of love, just think of that, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Some versions say sons of God. That's our position, folks. That is our position today in Christ. We are children of God. If you've come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and I pray that you have, you are a child of God. That puts you in a position, just as you're in a family position and you have a earthly father and mother, you have a heavenly position. In Christ, we are children of God. That simply means we've been selected by the Father. And we are his children. He called us through the power of the Holy Spirit. One day, you were sitting in a sermon, or one day, someone was witnessing to you, or one day, you might have been reading your Bible, and the Holy Spirit of God touched your heart and says, hey, you're lost. You need a Savior. And the Bible says, God so loved the world. Behold, what manner of love the Father has for you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and you said, you know what, that's me. I'm lost. I need a Savior. And God so loved me that he sent his Son to die for me. Whosoever shall call upon his name. And the Holy Spirit says, that's you. You're lost. You need to call upon his name. And you got out on your knee before God and you said, Lord, I am a sinner. And Lord, I realize that you died for me. And Lord, I want you to come into my life. And oh, by the faith that God give you and the understanding that God has given you, just as you are, you accepted him. And he said, you're now my child. And he sealed us with his Spirit. And we became children of God. Behold, what manner of love. You know what that word behold means? That word behold means to take an intense glaze or look. Take a look at, a long look. Not just a glancing blow, but a long, hard look at the love that the Father has for you. You ever thought about that? You, this morning, I don't care who you are this morning, if you're in this room, God is saying, look at the love that I had for you. You might be lost, you might be saved, but we still need to take that long look. You know, that he would send his Son to die for us. Look with intensity at the love that the Father has bestowed upon you. You know, he selected you. Someone was saying, excuse me just a moment, I had to go get me a paper towel. My nose is running. Everything else about me this morning is tired. But you know what? I'm so glad I came. Man, I love God. I love the Lord, and I love to preach his word. And folks, I just want you this morning to hear what the Father says. He says, I want you to think about what you're doing in the Christian life. If you're lost, you need to come to God right now. If you're saved, you need to listen to what he's saying here. Think about the love that I give you, that you would become my child. Well, I was watching television last night and about an adoption agency, and I thought about what we talked about in our class. These two little boys were bragging and putting down this other little boy because this other little boy was adopted, and they were born into a family, and he finally got enough of it. He said, you know what? I was adopted, but your parents had to have you just as you are. But my parents selected me. And I thought about that. God selected you, folks. He so loved you that he sent his Son to die for you. And he wants you to be his child. He wants you to live for him. He wants you to get better and better and grow, that your Christian life might be sweeter every day. And folks, we talked about Wednesday night obedience. There's one thing that you know that makes you a Christian, and that is obedience to God. He says, by this you shall know that you're mine because you keep my commandments. You obey God. And I told them that we don't really obey God if we just come to church once a week. That's not giving God very much, is it? Man, if you love God just to come to once a week, that's not very much. And I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm just wanting you to think about what God sees. What if you only saw your wife once a week and you told her you loved her? Wouldn't show much love, would it? But just think about what God did for you. He died on the cross. He went through the pain and the suffering. And you say with your life, I'm a child of God, but I don't have time to give him but once a week. That's not being very obedient. Friends, I just wonder, one day when we get to heaven and we stand before him, he's going to say, I never knew you. You didn't obey me. You didn't keep my commandments. That's the reason I say it's important. It's important to be in his house. To let him know that, yes, Lord, I do love you. I will keep your commandments. And just think what would happen. I told him Wednesday night, just think what would happen if you obeyed God and you all came back tonight at 6 o'clock for service. Just think what would happen. And then you decided, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to God, and I'm going to be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And then you said, you know what? I'm going to stay obedient to God. I'm going to come back Sunday morning at 9:45, the Bible study, where it says we need to study the Word of God. And we started doing that in our life. And we started being obedient to God in our life. Guess what? Your Christian walk would get sweeter every day. And revival would break loose, I guarantee you. Because God said, when my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, he's going to send revival. Man, that's what's wrong with America today. We're not humbling before or getting ourselves humble before God. You see, our position is we're children of God. And he says, think about what manner of love was this. Remember when Jesus was out on the boat with his disciples and a storm came up? They woke him up and said, Master, don't you care that we're about to perish? And he spoke to the wind and the waves, and he says, be still. Everything calmed down. You know what they said? What manner of man is this? That's the same word that we find here. What manner of love? It's a supernatural. They were saying, what kind of supernatural man is this that even the waves and the wind obey his voice? It's more than human, isn't it? It's God, folks. It's not human. And God has a special love for you this morning. He chose you. He adopted you. I want you, he said, to be my child. God who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them. The Bible tells us that he knew you before you was even born. He knew you by name and he selected you to become his child. And then look what it says, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. He's saying the world slighted Jesus, and it will slight you because they didn't know him and they don't know you. The world, they don't understand Jesus. They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand. They wanted to give Jesus a throne on earth. They wanted to give him a sword. But he said, no, that's not what I'm all about. And they couldn't understand his ways. They didn't understand his mission. So they slighted him and they rejected him. And he says, listen, don't be surprised when they reject you, because they didn't understand me. They're not going to understand you. And you know what? They don't. The world doesn't understand this church. They don't understand it. Why do y'all want to go up there to church when you can be out on the lake? Why do you want to go to church when you can watch football on TV? You look at all the crowds this morning, this evening, sitting at the football games. They don't understand God. They're more important with entertainment than they are God. And this church, they don't understand your faith in Christ Jesus. They don't understand your commitment in Christ Jesus. They don't understand why you want to give 10%. A lot of Christians don't understand that. They're not obedient. But you see, the world does not understand, and Jesus said, they're not going to understand you because they didn't understand me. We want to be entertained. And he says, listen, you are the salt of the earth. They don't understand you, but you're the salt. You're what flavors the world. I really believe it in my heart. The only thing keeping this world together is the Christian people right now. The Holy Spirit. You know, they don't understand the light of the world. They don't understand the love of God. The love of God, the most powerful force in the world. They don't understand how the gospel can change an old drunkard, how the gospel can change a homosexual, how the gospel can change a drug addict, how the gospel can change just a good fellow to make him a Christian man or woman, boy or girl. The world doesn't understand that. So he says, don't worry when they slight you, because they slighted me. And I'm so glad that this world is not my home. I love that old song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. You see, the Bible says we're sojourners and we're strangers in this world and we are passing through it. Man, this world is not my home. Let me tell you something, it's not your home either. The Bible says that it's appointed a man wants to die and then the judgment. If you make this world your home, you're going to be spending an eternity lost. We're to look for that home in heaven, the Bible says, whose maker is God, whose foundation is God. Now, folks, that's your position this morning. You are a child of God if you're saved. If you've invited him in your heart, you're a child of God. If not, then you need to come and get in Christ Jesus. Well, not only that, but look. Now, beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed. That's our potential. Our potential. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. You see? Now, I want to tell you something. My potential is anticipated. But when he shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. I know one thing. He shall appear. That means a sudden appearance. Think about it. A sudden appearance. Something that is here, but we don't see it. I think about the men standing there watching Jesus Christ as he went up into the clouds and disappeared. That word suddenly appear means a veil has been pulled. And it's simply behind that veil. You can't see it with these old eyes. We see it by faith, don't we? We look to it by faith. Abraham, all of the ones in Hebrews, how did they see God? By faith they saw God. And it's by faith that we see God today. He's here. I know he's here. The Holy Spirit is here. And one day, whoop, the veil's going to come back. And he's going to appear. And we shall see him face to face in all his glory. Folks, that's our anticipation. If you're a Christian and you're not, if you're a Christian or if you're not a Christian, then you're not anticipating that. As a matter of fact, you don't want him to appear. Because if he appears before you're saved, you're lost. But I'm anticipating that. And life just gets better. The older I get, I know, the closer I get to the death. But you know, death to me is not bad. That's just going home to be with God. I'm just going to close my eyes here and wake up in his arms, face to face with my dear Savior. See, it's going to get better and better and better. And God wants to add life to your years that you have. And in Christ, we can have life. My grandma, one of the sweetest ladies, Christian ladies, in this whole world. She grew old physically, but she never grew old spiritually. And I said, you know, Mama, I said, I want to be like her. I want to grow old spiritually. Every day with Jesus, getting the sweeter than the day before. Anticipate it. Then look at our potential actualized. Sometimes we find ourselves living our Christian life, but we're not really like Christ at all. The old flesh comes through, doesn't it? Sometimes. But one day, it says, when he shall appear, I'll see him face to face, and I'm going to be like Christ, and there's not going to be any more sin in my life. I'm going to be perfected in Christ Jesus at that day. Now, if that's true, and it is true, then what should we be doing right now? Every man, the Bible says in verse 3, that hath this hope in him. That means you're looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're looking for the veil to open up and Christ to come. Purifieth himself. What does that mean? Even as he is pure. Paul said, Timothy, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorying appearance of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You purify yourself. In other words, our hope is seeing Jesus face to face with a pure heart and a pure mind, pure conscience in our life. There's something different about a child of God than anything else in the world, you see. There's something different about a church that magnifies the Lord. There's something different about a church that's living a pure life and walking in a fellowship with God. There's something different about a group of people who give themselves wholly to God, realizing that he could come at any moment. He could open the doors of heaven and he would be here. Let me tell you something. He could at any moment. If we believed he was coming before we went to bed tonight, you would be here tonight, wouldn't you? You may lie to yourself, but I guarantee you, if Christ was coming tonight, you would be in this church. You would be on your knees before him saying, Lord, I want a pure heart. So when I see you face to face, I'll be pure, just as you're pure. But let me tell you something. You don't believe that, because a lot of you won't be here. And if he comes, wouldn't you miss the greatest thing in the world? Because you decided to stay home and watch a football game? Or you decided to do something else? Every Christian needs a sense of urgency, folks, about their life. That's what he's telling us here. Evangelism. Missions. Man, we didn't reach our mission goal. It's sad. We've got missionaries. Zach and them went back over. They made it safely. I couldn't believe he told us what was waiting for him. You know that boy, him and Hae Kyung are godly young people. But he said, God will take care of it, Daddy. Don't worry about it. And when they got off that bus, you might have got his emails, a little old Chinese lady. They didn't know her. She offered to help pull their luggage so they could, well, off the plane, pull their luggage so that they could catch the bus and go home. And when they got home, little did they know, one of the Christian friends had a van there. That van was going to take them to their home and all their luggage. And he was worried about how they were going to get from the bus station home. But God had it all worked out. And that's the reason he said, don't worry, it'll all work out. Not only that, they had them supper ready for them. You just can't outdo God, folks. You can't beat God. He's the greatest. And if we had that same sense of urgency, we'd have reached that goal. We'd have dug a little deeper. We'd have given more than we've ever given before. There would be an activity of holiness in our life. There would be prayer in our life. Someone told me, said, preacher, if you won't have so much prayer meeting on Wednesday night, more people will stay. That's a shame. If we can't pray, man, we've missed out on a blessing. He may come. Therefore, I want to be ready. I want to purify my life for God and be ready when He comes. Let me ask you a question. Are you obeying God right now? Are you obeying His call? I don't know what He wants you to do, but I know He wants you to do something. He don't want you to just sit and soak and sour. He wants you to do something for Him. He did not save you so that you could just sit on a pew and grow mildew. He saved you so that you could go out and tell others about Jesus Christ, that you could live a life. There's something in this church that you can do. There's something in the Christian life that you can do. Find out what the will of God is for your life and do that. And the best way to find out the will of God for your life is start by being obedient to God. He's not going to show you His will for your life if you're not living up to what He's already showed you to do. You do that first and He'll show you. Are you a child of God? If not, I'm going to give an invitation. And if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to be the first one to get out of that pew and come to the front and say, preacher, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'll be glad to tell you how. I'll be glad to let Brother Bill or Brother Teddy or Brother Jay or somebody go over the passage of Scripture until you know it. It's just that simple. But you need to get saved if you're lost. Now, if you're a Christian and you're already saved, you ought to know it. You ought to know that you're saved. And if you're a Christian and you're not being obedient to God, then you need to come down and just get right with God. You get right with God, and revival will break loose in your life. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that He shall appear, and we shall be like Him. Therefore, purify yourselves as He is pure. Would you do that this morning? And if you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you, would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You praise. We give You glory. Lord, I pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit has touched the hearts of the lost, of the saved, that we might obey Your commands. And we give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?